Secret lovers, that is what we are. We shouldn't be together, but we can't let it go. Oh no, 'cause we love each other so. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. I only know secret lovers, that is what we are. The rest of it, honestly, I just copied and pasted the lyrics from a website. I wasn't expecting
an audience.
Yeah, not an audience. I just assumed I would know how the rest of the song went, but I didn't know. I was totally...
As long as we know we are secret lovers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we're not secret lovers.
Okay. Welcome.
Okay, hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Politics.
Although...
I call it Politricks, and the title of this episode is Captain America 3 Civil War. My name is Presh.
My name is Dale.
And
let's get the Civil War, baby. That's what I initially thought when you were like, yo, let's do Civil War. I was like, bet we can watch that.
What do you mean initially? That is what we're doing.
Yeah, initially. I'm just saying first thoughts. But yeah. No.
So clean up from last week. Not really last week, because last week we did the Rebel Moon commentary. We didn't do a proper episode. So I'm saying from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago I said that President Zuma was sent to prison for 18 months and was released after a year.
Yes.
And we were both sure that I made a mistake and he was supposed to be sentenced for longer. He was actually only sent to prison for 15 months and he served 2 months before getting medical parole.
Oh my god. That's even worse. We were definitely wrong.
Bro, it's a disgrace, honestly. But it's pretty funny. You have to.
Bro, if that's the case, man, I think you should become president. We can use any illegal means necessary because clearly it's only going to get you maximum 15 months in prison. You know? Then you'll be okay. That's crazy.
Again, like I said, I don't know when we mentioned this, but he could be on the ballot, right? We mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
But his party is currently polling higher than the EFF. Did I mention that?
No.
Which is
crazy.
The EFF has been like, they just turned 10 years old, I'm pretty sure. So a party that's been around for 10 years versus a new party, that's very
new. Old. Ragged ass president.
Yeah.
Shit.
But yes, do you want to get into the news for the week?
Tell me.
So I'm reading this from the Sunday World in a story by Nompilo Goba.
Goba.
Greenstone Mall has terminated its lease with cinema company Ster Kinekor amid Section 189 woes. The cinema, which has been leasing at the mall for years, will be permanently closed on April
25.
It happened a few days ago. Right. This was after the cinema was slapped with a 30-day notice concluding its month-to-month contract. I'm saying it happened because I went to the mall yesterday. I was getting a nut. And I saw the theater was closed. I was like, damn. Like, I knew it was getting closed down. I heard about the story, but I didn't realize it would be so quick.
With immediate notice.
Right. Bro. Okay, this was after the cinema was slapped with a 30-day notice concluding its month-to-month contract. Sunday World understands that the termination is due to operational issues. A reliable source disclosed that the mall is not happy with how the cinema is run. However, speaking to Sunday World on Friday, Lynn Wiley, the chief of marketing at Ster Kinekor... Can I just stop you?
Can I stop you?
Speaking to Sunday World on a Friday, are they allowed to do work on it? Are they allowed to do work on days that are not Sunday?
Yeah.
It's in their name that they're the Sunday World. But whatever.
I think it's a weekend job, you know.
All right. Anyway, Lynn Wiley, the chief of marketing at Ster Kinekor, said that the closure has nothing to do with impending retrenchments. She confirmed that the branch would be shut down but could not divulge the details because of a non-disclosure agreement. Quote, the Greenstone Cinema will definitely be closed by next week, but that has nothing to do with Section 189. It's probably retail space issues, end quote. Wiley told Sunday World that her seniors had advised her that only Greenstone can comment on the matter. Sunday World could not reach the mall's manager, Tiffany Scott, or the operational manager, Eddie Pillay, at time of publishing. It was reported during the week that the ailing cinema company is in the process of retrenching over 200 staff members, with a possible closure of 9 branches in the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. However, according to Wiley, the Greenstone branch was not on the list of threatened branches. She stated that the list itself was inaccurate because there were still a lot of other factors that needed to be addressed. So
there is a list, but the list is inaccurate for other factors. But damn, man, they're closing the cinemas.
Yes. Shit. So I don't think we mentioned this, but the Greenstone Cinema, the reason we're bringing this up is our local cinema. It's the place very closest to both of our houses. And it's a...
And it's the place we've been going to for eons, bro. For eons, you know?
Yes. It's a... I'm trying to think. I watched like maybe 3 movies there this year already. And it's very unfortunate because every time I go, it's a totally empty theater. There's many times when I've just basically had a private showing, right? But at Eastgate, there's always, you know, people there. There's always like 5-6 people in a theater. So I can see that, you know, it's not a shock that it was shut down because, yeah, they do very poor business. But, yeah, it's still a shame, you know.
Well, all good things must come to an end, you know. I'll always remember the good times I had watching movies at that cinema with my friends. We used to watch the Marvel movies and things.
If it wasn't the one that's supposed to shut down, possibly they could be moving to another mall.
For example, if Stone Ridge next door, that space is closed, they could, you know,
open a theater there. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I'll remember that place forever. And no matter what comes afterwards, you know, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's a damn shame. I just believe that the cinemas, they needed to be innovative. They couldn't carry on doing things the way they were. So
I guess similarly, I was wondering why they don't offer like football matches or like you know, public screenings of stuff like that. I don't know if it's a rights issue or something like that, or I don't know if this happened like a long time ago, but our friend, his dad got these tickets to the cinema and we watched MMA, like live MMA from
That's pretty cool. A theater. In the cinema, yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
So, you know, they the Taylor Swift concert at the end of last year, they made it into a movie, and it gave people who didn't have a chance to go to those concerts like a chance to like engage with what happened on that tour. And so yes, there's much different ways that cinemas can innovate, like you said. And although I'm pretty sure you're talking about food.
Not particularly food, but food among other things, but also the setup, you know. It feels very like classic cinema to just go and sit down in those single seats, you know. Some places have a couple seats, you know, but it would be nice if there was just maybe like some bean bags, even the waiting areas, if they had like some Netflix playing so you can watch something, you know. Just,
I don't know. Yeah, I think that undermines the...
Well, look, you just entertainment.
Netflix is for watching at home. That undermines the cinema.
The cinema. Well, okay, fine. They have plenty of trailers going, so cool for them. But yeah, I'm just thinking like, you know, there must be some other things. But like you correctly say, there's different experiences. I definitely seen the Taylor Swift concert, you know, in theaters. Some of the, as in, I walked past it and I saw the movie was showing in the
theater. I don't know why you're getting so defensive.
I'm just saying, you know, that's...
It's cool to watch the Taylor Swift movie.
Did you watch it?
I haven't, unfortunately.
So maybe we should try that out.
Yeah, but it's already out of theaters. It's sorry. We can watch something else. So anyway, the next story. This is following on our coverage of the rap beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Since we last recorded, Drake has put out 2 songs.
Yes.
One is called Push Ups or something. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it called Push Ups?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that thing is
push
called.
Up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes fun of Kendrick's height and his shoe size, as well as his label situation. And the other is called Taylor Made, where he makes fun of Kendrick for not being as popular as Drake and Taylor Swift. So he has to do humiliating features to endear him to the mainstream audience. So you know, like the song Bad Blood, he did with Taylor Swift. Drake is saying Kendrick can't sell albums based on his talent, so he needs to do features like with a Taylor Swift to get into a more mainstream audience, because he's not talented enough to appeal to.
Hectic, bro. They're trying to do Drake dirty here, man.
Have you heard both these songs?
Yeah.
And what did you think of them? Oh, let's talk about Push Ups first.
Look, I don't want to get into the detail, but both of the songs, I guess, as you mentioned it, the disses that he aims, you know, are well taken, and I guess his point is very clear. So, I guess in terms of like a rap diss song, it was pretty good. Yeah. What would you say?
I like Taylor Made a lot more than the Push Up one. But yes, as far as I have it, Drake is winning the battle so far. Kendrick needs to respond, and soon. Because it's been like 2 weeks now since Drake put that out. Like, I think just after we got done recording that day, that's when Drake put out the song. So it's been more or less 2 weeks now.
Look, all I pray is that Kendrick is cooking up an album where he takes a shot at every single person.
Why an album?
Yes, because he can.
No.
Why not, bro?
Just make a track.
Even an EP, bro.
No, it's more disrespectful to only do it in one song.
Nah.
And say, look, all I'm... The only attention I'm giving you is one song.
No, bro. I reckon
a bigger flex.
It would be swag if you dropped an EP, 5 or 6 songs, one song for each of the people, one song for J. Cole, one song for Drake, one song for Taylor Swift, even though he can make a song.
Why would he diss Taylor Swift? She's the boogeyman. She's the real...
I don't know about all that, but I know that he has made references in the past about, you know, having sort of, I don't want to say beef, but like, he has names and a list of people that, like, don't behave right in the way of hip-hop, so to say. So now he's taken notes of them. If now's the time to make, like, you know, get some disses going, you might as well just call everyone out, you know? Because I'm sure in your career you must have made some friends and some enemies, and you can keep note of your enemies and you can diss them once, all at, you know, smack it. But anyway, that's just my opinion. That's just what I would like personally. We'll see what happens.
Yes, because at current moment I'm very disappointed in Kendrick.
Kung Fu Kenny.
Like, he kind of called Drake out, and then Drake responded, and then this guy was just caught flat-footed. It's been 2 weeks now. I keep bringing that up. 2 weeks is a long time, dude.
Okay. I feel you.
Anyway, can we get into the context of the movie?
Yes, tell me.
So now, this is obviously a sequel to Captain America 2.
Okay.
Ha! I'm just joking. It was just a...
Bazinga!
Bazinga! It was just a little joke.
Is not Captain America
2. This is not a sequel to Captain America 2. It's, in fact, a movie written and directed by Alex Garland, who I'm a big fan of. Are you familiar with Alex Garland?
No. I am not. You can tell me a little bit about him.
So he wrote the Danny Boyle films 28 Days Later and Sunshine.
I'm not sure if I've watched any of these, but 28 Days sounds familiar. 28 Days.
It's a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Yes. I watched both of them recently because Blank Check did a Danny Boyle series. So I watched all of Danny Boyle's movies. He also wrote the Judge Dredd movie, Dredd. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Very cool movie.
He got those two big red guns.
Yeah. Yes, with Carl Urban. Yes, then he made... he also wrote the romance movie, Never Let Me Go. You seen that?
Can't remember right now.
Okay, but it's very boring. I'm going to be honest with you.
Sure.
That's, I think... what I like least of his, you know, filmography. And then he transitioned into directing himself, and he made Ex Machina.
Oh, that's pretty good. I dig Ex Machina.
which is one of my top five movies of the 2010s. Mm-hmm. Do you want to ask me what the rest of my top five is?
Tell me.
The Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
Incredible movie. My favorite of the decade.
Mm.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm.
Just an impossible movie. How did they do all those stunts without killing somebody? Mm. The Wind Rises. Mm. It's a Miyazaki movie. It's a sweeping epic about World War II and planes.
Mm.
And it's semi-autobiographical. And The Handmaiden, it's a Park Chan-wook movie about, it's a very complex movie that I don't want to spoil, but yes, those are my top five of the 2010s. Right, do you have a top five?
Of the 2010s, I can't tell you what happened in exactly 2010.
Not 2010, I mean
just
the decade of 2010 to 2019.
I got you. Not right now, but I can think of...
Just off the top of your head, do you have like any...
There's some action movies that I really liked, but that's why I, off the top of my head, I'm not so good. Sometimes I'd appreciate a little heads up, you know?
No,
you know, you're thinking about your top 10
it's
movies.
It's not a big deal. I was just wondering.
I can quickly Google them, you know, and just tell you which ones I like.
Mm.
But yeah, not right now. I'm feeling shy.
Okay. He then went on to make Annihilation.
Mm, that's a good movie, 100%.
Which is about climate change, yeah. Somewhat. It's kind of has to do with an alien.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, the overall theme is about climate change.
Yes. Annihilation will be like in one of my top movies. I enjoyed it.
Mm. We watched Ex Machina together, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The robot coming to life.
Yes.
Right. You made Men, which is about toxic masculinity. Mm. Have you watched that?
I think so.
All right, and then both of those movies, Annihilation and Men, I didn't care for them too much. Like, they're enjoyable. I like him, and all of his movies are beautifully shot.
Mm.
Right, so at base level, whatever else you think, it's a beautiful movie.
For sure.
But yeah, Men I thought was boring, and Annihilation it wasn't boring. It was, I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it.
Okay, no problem. Right.
Then he made the sci-fi TV show Devs, which is amazing. Have you seen that?
No, I don't think so.
Like, one of the most beautiful...
What's Devs about?
They're software developers.
Oh, okay.
And they potentially found a gateway to the multiverse.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so it's kind of sci-fi, but I don't think, spoiler alert, at the end of the thing, I don't think they find it.
Mm.
So it's not really sci-fi because, you know, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But
sounds like a cool journey.
Yes. Mm. So Devs, so my favorite would be Ex Machina, but Devs would be my second of... you know, things of his that I love. Because yeah, Devs is crazy.
Okay.
And I think it's only like 6 or maybe 8 episodes. So it's pretty quick.
Oh, I just remember the other movie I like, Predestination.
That's a mindfuck. Movie.
Predestination, that's the one.
So the movie stars Kirsten Dunst, who we all know from Spider-Man, but has since carved out an interesting career as someone who works with auteur-driven directors in independent movies, such as with Lars von Trier in Melancholia and Jane Campion in The Power of the Dog, which got her a nomination for Best Supporting Actress at the Oscars. Have you seen either of those?
I haven't, no, but I remember her from Spider-Man. And to be honest, when I saw her, I wasn't too excited, you know, for the movie. I was like, oh, it's this girl, you know, what is she doing all the way home from Spider-Man, you know? She came all this way, now she's out here.
I think she's a very good actress.
Sure, no, she is, she is.
The other star of this movie is Wagner Moura, who I couldn't place. But afterwards, I googled him, and he played Pablo Escobar in Narcos.
Definitely.
But I've never seen Narcos, but I know him from the memes.
Yeah,
you know, sure. The Pablo Escobar memes.
Yeah.
So, yes. The movie is distributed by A24, who we've spoken a lot about on this podcast. an independent distributor who are usually very good at identifying movies, or identifying great movies, I should say. So I went to watch this at the Eastgate IMAX, which is my favorite theater.
Mm.
And there was a dickhead in my seat.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't precisely in my seat. He was in the seat directly next to me.
Yes.
But there were like six other people in the theater, so I just moved to a different row.
Yeah.
But that's so fucked. Oh. Honestly, I booked my ticket the night before. And there was only one person who had, you know, booked before me.
Mm.
So that man saw where he saw me booking my seat there and decided, he made a decision to come and sit next to me.
Mm.
Right? I have to wonder if he's some sort of rapist or...
Look, we don't know the situation because...
Some sort of sex criminal,
look,
right?
When I watched
and the movie. I'm just a boy. I'm just a boy, right? So I'm happy to call him a pedophile as well. That's some sicko. That's a madman.
Okay, look, bro. When I went to the movie in... I went to Cinema Nouveau in Durban.
Mm.
Right at Pavilion.
Mm.
And then when I got there, there was when we booked the seats, my girlfriend wanted to sit like right at the back, but then I was like, no, let's book like two from the back, you know. So we booked two from the back, but then when we got inside and I saw the layout, I decided that, well, we decided it would be better, you know, if we just sat right at the back. Mm. So we did. So we just changed seats. So when you arrived, was that guy already in your seat? Like, or...
Yes.
Yeah, so he got there first. He beat you to the punch, dog.
What the... No.
It's a free-for-all.
It's not a free-for-all.
It is a free-for-all, dog.
You book your tickets the day before.
You book your tickets to enter the arena. But once you're in the arena, it's a free-for-all as to which seats you choose.
That's really not how that works
at
all.
That's how the cinema works in my mind.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what to tell you.
Look, if it's... If there's, like... enough room for everybody to choose a seat that they want, then
just look,
everybody should.
There was a sicko who came to sit next to me, possibly to assault me.
But
it's not fucking...
Didn't you say that?
It's not a joke.
Didn't you say
I could
that
have been,
he was there first?
I booked my ticket there first.
But he was there first.
Yeah.
When you walked in, he was there already.
Yes.
Oh. Did you go and ask him like, yo, I'm sitting right here?
No.
Oh.
Well, I don't want to talk to him.
Sure.
I don't know what kind
so
of...
So what did you do?
I just went to another seat.
Free for all. Sorry, buddy.
I had to do that. I didn't want to do
you
that.
You didn't have to. You could have sat right next to him.
No.
Maybe he would have felt uncomfortable and then he would have moved. It's a mind game too.
No, man. That man made me so uncomfortable.
Sorry,
you,
buddy.
You need a... Yeah. Why are you taking the sex criminal side?
I'm just like, you know, playing the devil's advocate. But
yeah.
I know it's uncomfortable when you think you're going to sit somewhere and you get there and someone ruined your plans.
Yeah. I know. That
Sorry.
Was me. It happened to me.
Sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, later on, I went to pee.
Mm.
And when I went back to my seat, I slipped and I fell. I'm not fucking...
Where did you fall?
You know, the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you come out at the back of the theater and, like, you're going down the stairs.
Yeah.
As I was going down the stairs, I slipped. That thing fucked me up, bro.
Yes.
I just made it back to my seat and I just lay there just so fucked up, bro. Oh my god, this was a bad viewing experience for me.
That's what you get for thinking badly about guy.
Fuck that guy, man.
That's your karma, your mental karma. It came back immediately.
No,
it's like Freud called something.
They must have mocked that place and forgotten to let it get run dry.
Sue them then.
But anyway.
Get some money.
Yeah, but like, luckily nobody saw. Like I said, there was like five or six people. They were all focused on the screen. There was a very loud moment
good.
When I slipped.
That's
so
good.
They were all focused on the screen.
Let me tell you, my bad experience that I had in the movies when I was watching, the people like a few rows in front of me kept taking selfies. And not like one or two selfies and then they were done. And not like in the beginning of the movie when the adverts are on.
That's outrageous.
Mid-movie, bruh. Like, mid-movie, there's about 30 minutes, you know, we're in it. And now they're just going, bruh. Not one or two, 10, 15 minutes, they're going, dog. And I'm trying to shout behind them and be like, yo, that's enough now. Thank you.
That's really outrageous, bro.
Dude, the sound was just flopping.
I'd go and call the manager.
Hey, that's
I'd be a full Karen and just go and complain.
Hey, and my blood was starting to rise, you know. I could feel the pressure. And I just had to go to them. I was like, yo, I'm sure your pictures look nice, but the light is very disturbing from the back. So please stop now. Thank you. And then they did stop. Thank God. Yeah.
All right.
But that was the worst probably movie experience I had as of lately, especially. Anyway, tell me.
Yeah, sorry.
We're back on the movie, bro.
My thoughts on the movie.
Hey, Civil War.
First of all, I would call this an un-Civil War because everyone is being so rude.
Yeah. Actually, I 100% agree that the title could have changed because I don't see...
What would you have called it?
Un-Civil War is much better than Civil War. It just felt too similar to the Civil War that I know in the Marvel Universe, so I was a bit disappointed when I saw the title and then I was like, ah, this is a real war
movie. Well, a Civil War means... You know, in a group. So they're saying America, a civil war would be.
It's a war within a civilization.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So, like, in terms of the Avengers, there was a war between the Avengers, so that was a civil war. Similarly, it makes sense for what's happening in this movie.
Sure. But I think Uncivil War still would have been. Yeah. That's the name.
Because everyone's just so rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all the talk surrounding this film is about the fact that we're never explicitly told what the issue that caused the Civil War is. And the movie never says which side is correct. That has led to a lot of people to calling this apolitical. And I strongly disagree with this. I think the politics of this movie are clear. So the president, played by Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. Is very clearly a Donald Trump stand-in. The first reason I say that is when we're introduced to him, he says that things are going excellently. But we quickly find out that this is a lie, which is a classic Trump thing to do.
When he was practicing, first scene opening in the mirror, practicing his lies.
A classic Trump thing to do is when things are going badly, be like, things are going excellently, they're going great, they're going great. So that's the first thing. The second thing is journalists will be shot on sight. So Trump has been very anti-journalist and has joked about, you know, doing violence against journalists. So this would just be the extreme of that ideology, or not ideology, of that thought process, right? The next piece of evidence is that they tell us he disbanded the FBI. And Donald Trump is currently under investigation for his handling of classified documents by the FBI. So, you know, if they're coming after him, he just disbands
the people who are looking after
their organization, right? And that's something, you know, down the road, which again, that's the logical endpoint of you know, of a Trump authoritarian Trump, right? Lastly, we are told the president is in his third term, which is another thing Trump has flirted with repeatedly, right? So, very clearly, I think that guy is President Trump, or a stand-in for President Trump, I should say, right? So, if the sitting president is Donald Trump, then the people fighting him are a mixture of Texans and Californians, right? I don't know what you know about American politics, right? Or I call it politics. But Texas is a right-wing state. They heavily vote for Republicans, which is the red party. And California is a heavily, quote-unquote, left-wing state where they vote for the Democrats. The Democrats are not a left-wing party, but...
like a blue party.
Yes, they're the blue party. So it...
So the reds and the blues are teaming up against the current president.
So what they're saying is that the left-wing and the right-wing need to team up to take down the authoritarian like Trump, right? Which is laughable, I feel. Because for the entirety of Donald Trump's presidency, the right wing just let him get away with whatever he wanted, right? Even the so-called left wing in American politics also didn't do anything to stop him, really, right? So the idea that the left wing and the right wing would join together to stop him is just not based in reality of what happened when this actually, you know, happened in real life, right? It's just a centrist rubbish movie. So yes. The movie clearly has politics. I just think the politics of the movie fucking sucks. Right? Do you have anything to say about that?
On the politics of it, like, to me, it doesn't really matter initially. But then I realized this movie is about a civil war, so you kind of need to pay attention to the nuances between the different people and the parties, because there was soldiers and then there were rebellion forces. So who's the rebellion forces and like who are the soldiers fighting for? And you know, 1 minute they were following the rebel soldiers, the next minute they were following soldiers, like normal soldiers. So that was a bit tricky for me to navigate, you know. But that was just
similarly, I think that's part of the point of this movie. It's difficult to tell who's who when there's a war going on.
For sure.
Like, is this somebody I can trust? Well, you know, etc. Right? That being said, the politics and the reason for the conflict is not the point of this movie. Right? This is really about war photographers and their role in documenting atrocities and violence. So, this is the thing. I understand this is about journalists and how important journalists are, right? That in theory, that's what this is. But the characters are so unlikable. Like, to give an example, Wagner Moura, you know, he sees like these missiles going off and he goes, oh, that makes my dick hard, right? But then later on he sees violence and he gets upset, and then later after that, when Kirsten Dunst died, he doesn't give a fuck, you know. It's like
he just move on.
Yes, he's just a weird guy.
But even the girl who was taking her pictures, you know, that was this girl, this lady took you out of the place you were and helped you on your journey, and you just got pictures of
her dying,
you know.
You didn't try and check if you can help her out. You went to get pictures of the president. Like, all of them except the old guy. Which that was a very obvious thing that guy was gonna die. That you know, as soon as they left New York, I was just like, oh, this old guy's gonna die. Maybe the young girl will also die. But yeah, definitely the old guy is gonna die.
For sure, for sure. But he was a good character as like, as far as he made it in the movie, he was good, yeah.
So yeah, they suck. The music is supposed to contrast the violence, but it felt quite flippant, right? How did you feel about the music?
The music... What do you mean flippant?
Like, they don't... It's this upbeat, like, rock music. And it's kind of, like, not respectful to the people who died and, like, as that music is getting played. Like, you'll see hectic things happening while there's this, you know, soft rock song playing. So, yes.
Well, in that regard, I'll say it wasn't too bad, because I did feel the music definitely added to the movie. Because if it was just, you know, pictures... Without the sound, it would
No. I'm saying their choice of music, not that.
I'm satisfied with their choice of music. You know, I can't imagine any other songs and things, because sometimes the music did feel a little bit upbeat and stuff, but sometimes it did bring me down and make me feel sad for the situation that was at hand.
So the story is told in a series of vignettes that speak about how the civil war would affect different people. For example, there's like this town who are totally cut off from you know, the fighting. But then when they look up on top, they see guys with sniper rifles, I think. So it's shown that even if you want to turn a blind eye, you know,
you can't
because it's still
That's right there.
The violence is still around the corner, right?
That's true.
So I don't know what each little vignette means, but I'll give my interpretation for some of them.
Okay.
Right? So you have the one where there's the sniper they're getting shot at and they're shooting back. And the sniper has like pink and blue colored nails, which is the colors of the transgender flag. So I'm wondering if like they're saying during wartime transgender people are under fire. Or it may not be transgender people. It may just be the LGBT community at large. But I'm just saying those particular colors on his nails was is the color of that flag.
But the sniper who was shooting against the person in the house.
Yes.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
They're defending themselves against the random fire from we don't know who. We don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one. The second one where Jesse Plemons is a nationalist using the Civil War as cover, you know, to, like, it's very clearly non-white people that he's murdering. In, you know, that there's that mass grave, right? It's very clearly non-white people that he's putting there. And he killed those guys because they said, the one guy said he was from...
Hong Kong! Bah!
Bang!
Dead!
Right?
Son of a bitch.
Man. So, I think what that scene is trying to say is that they, you have these racist people who are committing violence under the guise, while the there's violence happening around them, they're using that as an excuse to kill, you know, foreigners. That being said, I don't think that scene works, the commentary of that scene works, because they're in a civil war, right? If he said, like, what kind of American are you? And one of them said, oh, I'm from the Western Forces, which is the Texas and California, and then he shoots him. That would be a more scary.
More, I think it makes sense in this guy because from the minute you see him, he's a very brutal, off character. You know, everything about him is like this guy's nuts. So when he was asking people what kind of American they were, I was also thinking, what kind of response can you say to get you out of this? But then when that lady was like, just tell him where you're from, you know, I understood. This guy is only caring about, like, where you're from, as in where you were born. So those two white girls were able to say, I'm from Michigan or I'm from this place.
But this is the thing. I don't know. Would he have killed them anyway?
Possibly. We wouldn't have known. But, like,
because for example, the thing is, if he lets them go, they'll go and tell somebody about his mass grave over here. So I think the way that scene was going, he was going to kill them all anyway.
For sure.
It's just...
lucky that guy came through. Yeah. That's why he's the plug, man.
He was stopped before he had the opportunity to kill them.
For sure. He definitely was going to kill them all, I reckon.
So yeah, those are the only two. The thing is, like, I've been trying to think about this, but I can't.
I think in the beginning they were also fighting in the rebel. You know, when they were following the rebel forces and fighting with them, wouldn't you say that's a separate sort of?
Yeah, it is. But I'm just saying I don't know what the meaning of that is.
Well, for me, again, that confusion. One minute they were following the rebel forces, and the next minute they were with the army. So who's badge? Who's wearing what? Yeah, and the way that I was also very impressed with the way they move with the army, because the one guy was like, y'all stay the fuck out my way, you know? So I would imagine if you were in the heat of serious, you know, war, you wouldn't want someone following around taking pictures. But these people were a little bit more okay with it, you know? So I hope that, like, whatever their motivation, they kept these people safe. They moved with them wherever they were. They told them, you know, stay or go. Yeah, should make a difference to their appearance as well, you know, to show that we, the American forces, you know, we didn't kill the press, but then the rebel people killed the press, you know, or something like that.
Speaking about, you know, what I was saying now, the how the Viennese, they they affect different people.
Mm-hmm.
The first one where they go to refill gas,
mm-hmm.
when they're like, we'll give you $300.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy's like, $300 will get you a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
which goes to show the devaluation of the currency,
yes,
which is sure. what would happen in a war-torn country.
And then finally they said Canadian dollars, you know.
Yes, because it's like that's real money now.
Mm.
That's what's holding up.
Mm.
So yeah, those are the only things I could figure out. But yeah, if there's anyone in the audience who has any ideas what the other vignettes may mean or what meaning they're trying to convey, please put it in the comments.
Yeah, even if you had any sort of feelings watching the movie, let us know.
Mm. So I thought the sound design of this movie is gorgeous.
Mm.
Especially in IMAX, the fucking everything was going crazy, dude.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
Yourself?
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's just like the bullets, and then there's the music. The bullets and the music, you know.
Mm.
Occasionally, there's a quiet scene, so... Yeah, I don't mind the sound design.
Yes. I did think this movie was a little bit samey, you know, going from place to place, and... yeah, it was just a little bit boring to me.
For sure, me too. When, like, I initially, like I'm saying, from the time that I looked at the title and I realized what this movie was about, you know, it didn't pique my interest, so to say. So, yeah, for me, it was a bit of a boring movie. But I think it was interesting to see what the journalists do go through and what, like, the possible kind of effects would be, sort of effects would be if there was a sort of civil war, you know. Mm. Just an interesting concept of a movie.
What did you think about the acting in the movie?
The acting was pretty good, yeah. Even, for example, when that kid... She was going through that rough time and she fell in that ditch and she came out the way she was throwing up in the car. I think for a good 5 to 10 minutes, I was just like, damn, the car, bro. And then you see that lady again going back and cleaning the blood in the car. I was like, damn, that vomit, that blood, shit, you know. So they were really committed, I guess, in all of the...
There was this girl.
Mm.
I was giving her and her friends a lift home, right? And, like, she was in the back seat, and I was, like, moving her to the front seat, and she fucking threw up all over me, right? And then, like, I put her in the front seat, her friends are in the back, and I'm driving, and then she just throws up again all over in the front seat.
Nasty.
It was fucking crazy, bro. I had to get a...
Immediate car wash, bro.
Immediate car wash. Yes. Yeah, that's they charged me extra.
Yeah. How much extra was it?
I can't remember. It was like
years ago now.
Damn. This was maybe 2016.
Damn.
But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
Well, that was
Kaylee Spaney, the young girl.
Mm. So the acting felt pretty good. How did you feel about it?
I really enjoyed everyone in this movie.
Mm.
The little cameo by Jesse Plemons, the guy, you know, with the orange glasses, that was scary as shit.
Mm.
He was the real standout for me in this movie.
Mm.
But Kirsten Dunst, you know, they're actually husband and wife. That's why Jesse Plemons was cast in this movie.
Mm.
The person who was supposed to be the guy couldn't make it. And
which guy is this that came? You're referring to? I'm trying to think of the guy with the glasses.
Jesse Plemons, the mass grave.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was the guy who said, "What kind of American are you?"
Oh, him and Kirsten Dunst.
They married, yeah.
Oh, snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah.
Hey.
Mm. So the guy who was supposed to play that character wasn't there on the day, and Jesse Plemons was visiting Kirsten Dunst, so they have him in the movie.
Wow, to be honest, that his character fits spot on for that role.
Yeah, you know? Well, he is an actor in his own right. He's a very good actor.
No, the way his character, you know, the energy that gives off of, it's very creepy, bro.
He played a similar character in Game Night.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Mm.
He was the police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a very sinister aura to him.
That's the words, bro. The sinister aura.
Yeah.
That's what he's giving off of.
And, you know, sorry. just to go back, you know, I said I can't make sense of every veneer. There's another like angle here that I can't put into words, but he, so you know, you say you shoot a gun and you also shoot from a camera. So I think he's trying to draw some kind of parallel between shooting from, you know, shooting a camera shot and shooting a bullet. I don't know what that is though.
Well, the only thing I can think of is their cameras caught a lot of bullets, you know,
being shot. Yeah.
So that was, because like I said, when you see someone die frame by frame, you know, bullet entering someone and exiting someone and like the blood leaving too, it's crazy, you know. But overall, what would you say?
Well, I just wanted to say lastly, you know, I said in the context that all of his movies are beautiful. I thought this was a very, you know, good looking movie, but it's not as like gorgeous as his other movies. It kind of let me down in that regard. Do you have any other closing thoughts?
Based on the visuals, you know, like his, I think it's nice shots, the way everything was taken, but it's not the most appealing environment to look at, you know, to see the civil war and the unrest and all the nastiness that comes with it along the way. But it was still interesting to see them driving along the way, you know, it was cool scenery. So I'm pretty happy with it.
So my rating, I initially gave it an 8, but as we're speaking through it and I'm just kind of realizing I don't like it as much as I initially came out with it, I think I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah. I think I was also thinking a 6 or 7. Maybe I'm leaning towards 6 because I wouldn't watch it again. Like some movies you wouldn't mind watching again.
I wouldn't watch this either.
You want to watch again. This movie I wouldn't really be interested.
I might rewatch Devs this week. Devs was great.
Nice.
And I'm remembering it was quite short, so I might rewatch it this week. So do you want to get into recommendations?
Yes, Tommy. Hold on a second.
Drunk! Stop it!
Yeah, okay.
All right. Recommendations.
Tell me.
Following on in the Blank Check John McTiernan series, I watched The 13th Warrior, which stars Antonio Banderas as as an Arabian man.
Nice.
Who travels to Europe
yes.
and goes on an adventure with some Vikings.
Yeah.
Which is...
that's interesting.
Yeah. He's like... You know, he's also... He's culturally very different. He fights with like a scythe. While they fight with like a broadsword.
Yeah.
So like it's a culture shock. But the story is also a retelling of the a realistic retelling of the story of Beowulf.
I think I might have heard of Beowulf and seen a couple of minutes of it at least.
Yeah, there was a movie in like the late 2000s, like I think 2008, which I never saw, but Beowulf is the first English written poem or the first piece of English literature ever that still survives to this day. Yes.
Dang.
That's the first recorded English poem or piece of writing.
So is that all Beowulf is? I thought it was like an actual movie.
No, it was a poem and then they took that poem and made it into an action movie.
Oh, the poem is like, okay.
It's the story which the thing follows.
I feel you.
Right? I found the movie to be a whole lot of fun. I gave it a 7.
Okay, nice. Right? Yeah.
Then still carrying on with the John McTiernan series because it's been 2 weeks since we recorded. I watched Rollerball, which tells the story of a guy who plays a futuristic sport called Rollerball.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a class commentary. But the movie is a mess and by extension the message of the class commentary gets muddled. It's a bit of a bizarre movie. And I'm giving it a 5.
I remember Rollerball too, like watching it a long time ago.
It's with LL Cool J.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe you've seen that. I've never heard of this movie.
Right. I can't remember anything about it, but I just know I watched the movie called Rollerball on ETV, you know.
It's so crazy that this movie exists.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I've been going through this John McTiernan series. He starts off with like Die Hard, The Predator, and then like he's doing bullshit like this.
And you know, everybody gotta have a side project.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I watched part two of Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh. Is that the new?
Yeah, the new one.
Oh, okay, nice.
No, so, a few months ago, I watched part one and I thought it sucked.
Mm.
Part two also sucks shit, but it's not the end, right? Mm. There's going to be a part three sometime in the upcoming months.
Mm.
And hopefully part three can recontextualize the first two.
Okay.
Because it's been two movies of setup now. We need some payoff.
Oh, okay. So you didn't enjoy both setups?
Yeah, both of them kind of sucked.
Okay.
Sorry
about that, bro. Justice League is pretty good usually.
Yeah, but there's just too many characters that they have to introduce.
Mm.
But yeah. Finally, this week, Shogun ended.
Shogun, yes.
It's a phenomenal TV show. And it ended in the perfect way. A few weeks ago, I said on the pod that it reminded me of Game of Thrones. And it was hashtag restoring the feeling of the golden age of TV. And that still remains true. Mm. I give the show a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, it gave me a...
That's pretty good then, bro.
Yeah, this show is excellent. Phenomenal. Like I said, watch it. Yeah, I think it's on Netflix as well.
It's called?
Shogun.
Shogun. Mm. I'll definitely check it out.
Do you have recommendations of anything you watch?
My favorite. I watched such a nice movie called Late Night with the Devil.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, look, not maybe my girlfriend doesn't like it, some other people don't like it, but I think it was a pretty cool movie, you know, very interesting concept, very different the way it does like a paranormal spin on things, and it's the way it's done in that time period was also very interesting. So yeah, if anything, that might be my new favorite movie of the whole week, so I'd give that movie like an 8.
Yeah, well, I'm boycotting that movie because I heard that AI was used to make that movie. Are you gonna respond
to what, AI or what?
No, I'm just saying.
Do you have some beef with AI?
Yes, I think it's taking away jobs from, you know, regular artists.
Mm.
So that's a shame. Mm. So I'm not gonna watch that movie. Late Night with the Devil. No.
Come on, bro. It's not at all. Movie, though.
I'm not. I'm just gonna avoid it.
Can you confirm that AI was used in the movie? And
we'll Google to what after percentage, this. We'll Google
what,
after this.
To what percentage?
We're not gonna argue about this now.
No, we're not arguing. I'm just.
I'm not arguing. You're arguing.
Understand? So you are boycotting because AI was used. So up to what percentage of AI could be used in a movie
if
that it's safe? You know?
If the artist uses AI as a tool, that's fine. But if they're replacing people and using AI in place of a person, that's a bad thing.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, to my understanding, the AI used in this movie was used to replace people.
Mm.
So, I'm not supporting it.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, we'll investigate afterwards. But yeah, right. Anyway. That's all I really watched. And Young Sheldon is still slapping dog.
I thought you finished Young Sheldon.
Nah, that's what I said, dog. It's bad because that thing, it's like you have to watch every week, like one every week, you know.
Oh.
Mm. So that's, it's not the best thing, but be like that. I'm just going.
Mm.
Yeah. But right. Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah. Are you done?
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Mm.
Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review.
Mm.
Yeah.
No. 2 stars?
Even 4.5, you're dead to me. 4.5 is too low.
Sure.
It needs to be a 5-star review.
Look, if you are clicking on buttons in order to rate this review, you might as well just click like, and you might as well just choose 5 stars.
Yeah, might as well.
You might as well. Mm. And don't forget to tell your friends.
You can find our links at paysip.com. That's PAICIP.com.
Mm.
Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend.
And
tell a family member.
Yeah. And tell your auntie too.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.